Chris Benda, theological librarian at Vanderbilt University's Divinity Library, and I'd like to welcome you to Open Exchanges, a series of conversations about recent Vanderbilt publications that have been made available as open access. In other words, a version of these publications is freely available on the internet for anyone to read. Today I'll be talking with Bonnie Miller McLemore, E. Rhodes, and Leona B. Carpenter, Professor of Religion, Psychology, and Culture, about her recent article, Getting It Right, and that's W-R-I-T-E, on the craft of academic writing, which is currently an online first article in the journal Pastoral Psychology, but will eventually end up in a particular issue of the journal. A copy of the article is available on Bonnie's webpage at the Vanderbilt Divinity School website. Bonnie, thanks for agreeing to do this interview.
You're welcome. Glad to do it.
Your article is interested in exploring, quote, the challenges and the lure of crafting the written word, unquote. And at least one of the reasons that I assume, anyway, that it appears in a pastoral psychology journal rather than a magazine about writing is that you see links between the craft of academic writing and the identity and activities of pastoral theologians. While listeners will want to read your article to get the details, what are some of the links that you draw between how you write and how you wrote this particular article and how you do pastoral theology?
Yeah. Let me start by a kind of a circumcruitous, or I don't know what the right word would be, way to get to your question. Mm-hmm. This article was written for the purposes of a conference at Princeton Theological Seminary that's been happening annually of New Directions in Pastoral Theology. And so what's been fruitful for me about participating in this group is that the invitation to come participate and write a paper and share it has usually been under some kind of broad theme. And the theme for this particular meeting that provoked this article was on method, which is kind of a dry and not so interesting subject matter. But what's been fruitful is the invitations usually provoke more imaginative, creative responses. And this one invited creatively, you know, engaging that topic, encouraged the scholars participating not to fall back on, you know, who mentored them or this particular, you know, theologian or resource that they traditionally would use in method. And for some reason, that was an open invitation for me to think about writing. And I had been teaching twice at that point a course for doctoral students, and then eventually opening up to interested divinity students on writing. So I had been really thinking about this practice and how to write towards academic purposes, not towards memoirs or fiction and other kinds of writing. Mm-hmm. To get more to your question, one thing that is typical of pastoral theology is starting with, you know, lived experience and with human subjectivity and personhood and first-person engagement with, you know, life, suffering, pain, and fulfillment, or whatever the word would be. And so this particular piece really does look not just at my own experience, but really at other writers who have written about writing in a fairly personal manner. And I have really enjoyed reading memoirs about by authors, mostly people who write fiction, but not just fiction, also who write memoir. Annie Dillard is an example, or Anne Lamott, and Stephen King. I've come across, you know, people that you don't think about who've done some interesting reflection on their own practices of writing. So I think this article is distinctive in both drawing on my own experience as well as the autobiographical accounts of other authors. Mm-hmm. And sort of beginning with that as a starting place. I think at the beginning of this piece, I do share my own experience of other writing I've done about other subject matter, And when I present it, for the best example really is work I've done on mothers and religion, mothers and Christianity and so forth. And often in speaking on that topic, people really get interested not about the theories and the broader theological issues that I'm trying to point toward, but they want specific counsel and reflection on life, how I have lived my life at the intersection of work and families. And I have some of that in my writing on mothering and motherhood and in religion and psychology. But people really want that. And I think the same thing, I have the same similar thing when I teach in the classroom. People's ears perk up when we turn to our own experiences. So that, you know, is a, more likely to be an approach in a pastoral theology class than it would be in other courses that may be focused more on historical or contemporary theories. It's not that we don't do theories, it's just where we start is different. Right. We work our way towards theories from grounded experience. Right. Yeah.
Great. As the subtitle of your article suggests, you see academic writing as a craft. And in that it, and I'm quoting you here, quote, it displays a knowledge in the doing that is honed through experience over time, that incorporates each person's oddities, and that includes but surpasses its key steps, a place where thinking and feeling come together in a material result solid enough that one can pass it on to another, unquote. And among the people whose work you use to reflect on writing is an artist, a painter, from your description. And if I'm understanding you correctly, you see this artist as a craftsperson. But the juxtaposition of craft and art led me to wonder if there's a difference between these two. And if so, what difference it might make to conceive of writing and pastoral theology as an art as well as a craft.
That's really a great question, because the last part of that quote, let me start there, is that when you're done, you have a tangible object. You actually have, it's not all in your head, it's actually a material result. You know, I'm sitting here holding the article. And that will shift when people begin to read online and so forth. But in a way, a craft is you actually produce something that someone can pass on to someone else materially. But there, I think if I could have a longer title, it would be on the art and craft of academic writing. Behind that title is work I've been doing with other people in practical theology on Christian practical wisdom. And as we've thought about practical knowledge, one of the things that I found myself retrieving was that all the way back to Aristotle talked about practical knowledge using the word phronesis. And he distinguished phronesis from two other kinds of knowledge. He distinguished it from theoretical knowledge, knowledge of ideas, you know, in your head, so to speak. That may not be how he saw it, but that's how it's come down to us over the centuries. And a third kind of knowledge, which has been, he used the word techne and poesis. And one of the things, as we've thought about practical knowledge, or myself and other colleagues, is this desire to retrieve techne as, you know, the art of producing things. And that you need, for techne, you actually do need some how-to knowledge, technical knowledge about what it takes to you know, make an instrument or play a sport or become a good musician. And for any of those things, or for painting a picture, back to the painter, even a painter has to know the craft. You know, what brushes you're going to use, what kinds of paints work with what kind of material that you're painting on. And if you, you know, another example would be both musicians and a sport. They go through drills or they practice scales. And in a way, that this whole idea of kind of redeeming techne has been helpful because it helps me see that students in divinity need also techne. They don't just need phronesis, and they don't, certainly where we've really put our emphasis is on theory, theoria in Aristotle's words. And all three of these kinds of knowledges need to be brought together. So a lot of the, a certain part of the article really is about specific kinds of concrete things people do, what they do with their daily schedule, which is a part of that is craft knowledge, how they write or how I write a paragraph or make an argument. It's actually tools of construction. But if those kinds of craft knowledge don't finally become an art, you know, then you don't really have a successful product. So it is a fine tension between craft and art. And you are aiming for art beyond the craft, in a way. That's the bigger telos, I guess, the bigger aim. But they definitely go together. And sometimes we've, especially in theological education, we've kind of taken all these different kinds of knowledge apart. And
focused on some more than others.
Yeah, perhaps. And preventing real learning.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you mentioned a little bit more about some of what goes on in the article, because I don't ask a lot of questions about that, but you do in the article go into some detail about your working process and other writers' working processes. So folks that are looking for that kind of thing will be hopefully happy to see what you have to say about it.
And in some ways, when I've told people about the article, I do, what's the right word? Apologize is too strong, but the beginning is sort of situating why am I writing on writing as an instance of method and practical theology. In some of your first question, I'm sort of talking about how, just in talking about my practice of writing, I demonstrate what it is to be a practical or pastoral theologian, that we reflect on practices and how we do practices. But once I'm past that, I do feel like the article just takes off in just playing with the art and craft of writing in conversation with other people who I've really enjoyed their own reflections, their own similar kinds of honest talk about what they do to become successful in their writing. One is the Nashville Ann Patchett.
Right.
And so I think I do have a hunger when I hear that somebody has an article or a book on their, that's sort of memoir style. I mean, that I really like reading that kind of material. I find it just fun to hear how people think about their own practice. Yeah.
Well, the last question I have is, if I'm understanding practical theology right, is one of the moves in practical theology, which is, in what ways have the reflections in this article generated new or different practices in your writing or your work? Or your life.
Yeah.
I mean, what effects have these reflections had in practice, I guess?
When one of the person who responded to this piece at the Princeton meeting, I am going to have trouble capturing kind of exactly what he said, but he noted that I really kind of maybe there's a place in the article where I talk about kind of coming alive in writing, and you know, he kind of invited that, keep that happening. Some of my writing has had to be, that may be putting it too strong, but has been very much focused on deeper theoretical issues in practical theology, and this was just a fun piece. I had a good time writing this, and so that's one thing that came out of this is to keep the love of whatever it is you're doing in your writing as much as possible. And that's hard, because writing is hard. I mean, that's something I also have in this piece, is that most people love it and hate it and are happiest when they're done. But it's ironic because, you know, that's they also we also enjoy the process. But it's there's some built-in anxiety to creative work, I think, or at least to this kind of creative work. That might not be true for other kinds. So that's one outcome. Another that's maybe not in this piece, but I have been thinking about it, is that it would be interesting to think more about writing over a vocational lifetime of an academic career and the different phases of academic writing. And so I'm at a stage now toward the end of my career where I have had several projects, I guess a couple things that have been on my mind, and I get asked to continue to do work on things I'm not working on anymore. And so it's a different kind of deliberation and discernment about what should or do I want to write on. And that's one thing that's been on my mind. And a second thing that's sort of related to the vocational trajectory of an academic writing career is that this is a little harder to describe, but I can do it maybe by analogy. The expanse of my, I don't want to say I now know everything, but I have a lot more material in my head and in my life to draw on. And it's I find it harder sometimes to contain my writing. So whereas I used to be able to say 5 pages on this, now I find that, you know, I'm 2 or 3 pages in and I'm not halfway where I want it to be. And my writing is sort of overflowing its bounds, and it's hard to sometimes contain. So there are different challenges at different life stages, I guess I'm saying that this has made me think a little bit more about. I describe myself as someone who likes to write in long chunks, bigger chunks of time. And I've also thought, is that set in stone? Maybe I am reaching a different point where it would be a better practice to write a bit every day. I may not change that. I still haven't changed that. I still have a proclivity to, I dislike big open spaces of time for for getting writing done. But it has helped me think a little more self-reflectively about what's the most, gratifying, and what kinds of writing should I be doing at this particular juncture?
Thank you again for
you're welcome
for participating
fun.
In this interview. The article is "Getting It Right on the Craft of Academic Writing," and the author is Bonnie Miller McLemore, E. Rhodes and Leona B. Carpenter Professor of Religion, Psychology, and Culture. For an open access copy of the post print, as well as a link to the published version, browse to divinity.vanderbilt.edu and look for Bonnie Miller McLemore under the faculty staff link. Let us know what you think about the article and this conversation, and thanks for listening.